from the studio in Nitro, West Virginia. This is Unreasonable Doubt. It's a podcast about West Virginia University basketball. I'm Josh Witt, and it's July, which means it's TBT time. Let's talk about TBT. Why? Because Best Virginia's in it, the West Virginia University alumni team. Let's also talk about it because it's coming back to Charleston, West Virginia after 3 long years. TBT comes back to Charleston, back to the Civic Center. Don't Google that. And it's been 3 years since West Virginia's best run in TBT. 3 years ago, they won 3 games in Charleston, made it to the quarterfinals in Dayton before bowing out. Can they have that magic again? Maybe, is there something special about the Charleston Civic Center? We'll find out. What's changed? What's the same? Well, John Flowers has been the constant. He is a player slash general manager for this team. Jared West from the 1998 Sweet 16 WVU squad. He is the coach, as he was last year. Jared West's son, Jared West, who played for Marshall, finished his college career at Louisville. He'll be on this year's Best Virginia roster. I feel like there's a connection there that gets him on the team. And as of this recording, which is 9 days from the first round game, Friday, July 18th, against Dubois Dream, these are the listed WVU alums that are on the Best Virginia roster, listed on the TBT website. It's John Flowers. It's Wesley Harris, who has played for Best Virginia before. It's Jermaine Haley, who played for Best Virginia before. Did really well in Charleston, by my recollection. It's Kedrian Johnson, who played last year. And from this year's squad, a welcome addition, Ed Andre 3000 is on the Best Virginia roster. So I'm excited to see that. Hey, y'all. Issa Ahmad, Eric Stevenson, announced prior as roster additions. Don't know what happened with Issa. Eric Stevenson went to NBA Summer League, played for the Miami Heat. We wish Eric Stevenson the best in his future pro endeavors. But that's the WVU list. With one exception, and maybe more than one, but at least one, John Flowers does have a wild card roster addition up his sleeve. He posted on X a couple of days ago, quote, "Y'all ain't gonna believe who he just signed for TBT. Big welcome back to Motown," end quote. That's the post. Who could that wild card be? This is pure speculation. Don't know who the guy is. I would say this is somebody who hasn't been on a Best Virginia roster before. And with that, and again, no inside information, I'm just giving you my wish list. It's a small list of who could possibly be the unnamed addition. Emmett Matthews. He's bounced around the G League. Could he make a return appearance in Motown for Best Virginia? Could it be Derek Culver? Where in the world is Derek Culver? But that would be a welcome surprise. Raekwon Battle. Could John Flowers get Raekwon Battle to come and participate in TBT? But number one with a bullet for me, this is what I'm hoping for in my heart of hearts. Could John Flowers get Teddy Allen to play for Best Virginia? Is there a guy that I would want to see more in a Best Virginia uniform than Teddy Allen? My answer is no. I don't know what your answer is. It's probably the opposite of that. It would be amazing if I see on social media Teddy Buckets back. It'd be amazing. So that's my wish list. Again, pure speculation. Let's talk about the non-WVU alums that are on this year's roster. You might have heard of these guys. I did not, with respect to everybody involved. I appreciate them joining TBT Best Virginia. I mentioned Louisville and Marshall alum. How do we say alum now in the in the guys play anywhere from 2 to 5 schools in their college career? Are you an alum of every school you played for? Alum is, I don't know what to do with that. I'm just giving you, when I say alum of the guys I'm going to mention, it's the school that they played for last. All right? And these guys have all played basketball for money. They have played basketball on a professional team somewhere in the world and got paid. The other guys listed on TBT's website. South Carolina alum, James Reese V. It's awesome to see a 5, the letter V, the Roman numeral. So that is the 5th in a line of James Reese's. He's the 5th one, proud under the proud Reese name. Toledo alum J.D. Weatherspoon had a cup of coffee at Ohio State, but he's, for me, Toledo alum J.D. Weatherspoon. Cal Poly San Luis Obispo alum Marcellus Garrick. And Notre Dame College alum Will Voorhees. Is it the South Bend Notre Dame, Josh? Nope. Is it the South Euclid, Ohio Notre Dame College that actually closed last year and doesn't exist? Not even an athletic program as a school? That one. That's where Will Voorhees is from. And that's the list of non-WVU alums without any additional knowledge, because I don't know these guys. I hope they're all great at basketball. Somebody has paid them money to play basketball, so they've met that threshold of being a professional athlete. Anything else about them, I know very little outside of Jared West, because, you know, his dad's Jared West. So what's the ceiling for this version of Best Virginia? All I'll say is that if the surprise guy is Teddy Allen, this team can not only win the $1 million that you get if you win TBT, they could be the 31st NBA franchise? Is that, I don't know, is that how many, is it 30 teams in the NBA? Just what's the next thing? You can't stop with TBT for Best Virginia if Teddy Allen is on the roster. And that's the ceiling. If it's not Teddy Allen, candidly, I'm rooting for them. I think they're going to have a tough time getting out of the Charleston Regional. Heard that is there. Heard that beat Best Virginia last year. I think that was last year. And it's going to be tough without Teddy Allen. But I'm excited for it. I'm going to put on the press hat again or whatever that looks like. I'll be credentialed and I'm air quoting here, covering Best Virginia and TBT. It'll be fun. And it's coming up. And that's what July is for. July is for the basketball tournament. Unreasonable Doubt is under the Smoking Musket umbrella. Go to smokingmusket.com. Read posts about WVU sports, daily throwdown. Check that out. Go to the Discord. We're talking about WVU sports and other stuff on the Smoking Musket Discord. Link for that is in the show notes. Listen to West by Pod, the WVU football podcast under the Smoking Musket umbrella. Do all that stuff. Smoking Musket. The holidays sneak up fast, but it's not too early to get your shopping done and actually have fun with it. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. You're listening to this podcast. You're a WVU fan. You go to Uncommon Goods, type in West Virginia University. They've got drinking glasses. They got a throw pillow. You can get a cheese board in the shape of West Virginia. All sorts of cool stuff. Many of their handcrafted products are made in small batches, so shop now before they sell out this holiday season. So shop early, have fun, and cross some names off your list today. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/musket. That's uncommongoods.com/musket for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. TBT is a break from this season's WVU men's basketball team under Ross Hodge. But I need to talk about Ross Hodge recently on Three Guys Before the Game. Good interview. Check that out. The most interesting thing I heard from that interview is that Ross Hodge confirmed he bought and is living in the house that the last Mountaineers men's basketball head coach lived in. That's a thing. And apparently, according to Ross Hodge, that house has an incredible basement with lots of WVU flair, like built into the house. Or maybe they just left all the WVU stuff in the basement. Like they just, I'm speculating there. The other thing about this house, it's right across the street from the house of WVU athletic director Ren Baker. So that's a lot. It was a very small part of this interview, but I got stuck on that bit of knowledge. And I have a few thoughts on that. The first thought is living near your boss. Have you lived across the street from your boss ever? I can confidently say I have not. And I also feel pretty confident that I never will live across the street from the person I report to at my workplace. That seems like a lot. Like I need separation. I don't want to live across the street with love and respect from my parents. I have lived across the street from family, and that worked out great. But like even a coworker living across the street and like they've got a sense of your business, but not really. Like, oh, look at the Witt household. Look, Josh hasn't cut his grass. The grass is a mess, even though I've got my reasons. It's been raining. I just didn't get to it. Anyway, the first thought is that would be uncomfortable for me, with love and respect to every boss I've had, living across the street from you, that would have been weird. And then the second bigger thing is this idea of a coach leaves and then the next coach that comes in lives at the same house. And the only thing I think of when I hear that is I grew up in the church. Sounds like a parsonage. The church parsonage. Should WVU basketball have the equivalent of a parsonage? Where whoever's coaching there, that's in your benefits package. Like, you know, people in their contract, coaches in their contract, hey, I get membership to the golf course and I get this and that. Could that be an ink in the future and you get the basketball parsonage? I don't know. I mean, the church I grew up in, my church had a parsonage and that's where the pastor lived. And it was a church owned by the church. And if you're pastor, that's it. That's one of the perks is, hey, man or lady, you get to live here. You don't have to have a house payment. We got you on the house. And this house was in the same town as the church. You get a house. And when I grew up in the church had multiple pastors. And one would leave for whatever reason. And then the next pastor would move into the parsonage. And it could be for any reason, right? Let me just throw out a hypothetical scenario at a church. Now, this wasn't my church, but just to explain how the parsonage works, okay? I'm making this up. Let's say there was a pastor at a church that had been a pastor there for a long time. And the church attendance peaked while he was pastor. Like the church did great things while he was the pastor. And But then attendance started slipping a little bit, little fluctuation in the messages and the sermons. And then all of a sudden, the pastor did a couple of things within a few months of each other. And then the board of trustees, like they got together, determined this pastor needs to move on, and announced to the church that the pastor resigned. The pastor denies that he resigned and demanded to be pastor again, but the church moved on. That did not happen for the pastor. This is all hypothetical. And this church moved to an interim pastor. And when people got the bulletin the first time and the whole time the interim pastor was there, interim in the bulletin, the font was way bigger than the other letters. Like even when there's like a church picnic or a potluck dinner or whatever, that's like a big announcement, interim was always the largest font in each week's bulletin. But everybody liked the interim pastor, and church services, were they great while he was there? Not really. It was a rough time, but everybody appreciated the interim pastor for his service to the church, right? I'm trying to explain how a parsonage works, okay? So the interim pastor is there for a while, gives the board of trustees plenty of time to do a search for a new pastor, and the chairman of the board of trustees felt like they got a good pastor. And this pastor's history on paper seemed to be one where it was going to bring stability to the church. This pastor had stayed at his previous church for a long time, could have went to other churches, stayed at that church, was under the tutelage of another pastor at another church for a long time. Just his resume screamed loyalty and not leaving on a whim, right? And everybody who knew this pastor said to the church congregation, you're getting a good pastor, right? And the pastor was kind of quiet around the congregation, but everybody thought he was a good pastor. And the pastor had a son, and the son was the lead singer of the praise team. And he was really good at that. But there were rumors about how the son, questions about, was he living in sin a little bit? But that happens, with a stereotypical preacher's kid. That was rumors. But the pastor is doing well at the church. Early on in his tenure, he went to a church camp with seven other churches, and nothing really stood out from that. It was a good experience for the pastor at the church camp. And again, like, this is hindsight, but in this hypothetical example, and it didn't seem like a big deal at the time, but when the pastor returned from church camp, the pastor and the church announced that his son was stepping away from leading the praise team because he needed to rest his voice. And when they came to the church, there were some concerns about him being able to lead the praise team. But this was a different thing to do with his voice. Anyway, he stopped leading just out of the blue. They get back, it's like, hey, we need to rest his voice. That's weird, right? But I guess that happens. You see him at church, and the pastor's son's voice seemed okay when he was at service. So then it's like, but why would they make that up, that he needs to rest his voice? Anyway, still in the hypothetical example, the church seemed to be in good health. Things were going well, even with the son not leading the praise team. It did put a lot of pressure on the guy kind of taking the lead of the praise team. But that guy did great. He really did great leading the praise team. He was a really good singer. And then right after Easter, and Easter service didn't go exactly as the pastor expected, the congregation of the church found out that the pastor, this is a hypothetical example, left for another church. And how did they find out? It wasn't by the pastor saying goodbye or telling the congregation. He just didn't show up at church the next Sunday. And that put the church in a tough spot, and the board of trustees chairman had to let the church know that the pastor was going to preach at another church. And there was weird stuff about how all that went down in this hypothetical example. I mean, get this. The church that the pastor went to, the new church, that church just happened to have people who were at the church camp. Isn't that wild? Like, of all the church camps, he ends up going to a church where they had people who went to that church camp. That was wild. And another weird thing, the congregation found out that the pastor's son's voice, perfectly fine, could immediately start leading the praise team at the new church. Just weird stuff. Maybe nothing malicious, but it just, the way the pastor left, it left some in the congregation upset because they just don't have a ton of information to work with. And so you end up speculating, and people are human, and you speculate on what happened. Did the other church recruit their pastor when he was at church camp? Did the pastor's son voice, did it really need a break from leading the praise team? All sorts of weird stuff. But in this hypothetical example, when that pastor leaves for another church, then the pastor that replaces him would live in the same house as the last guy. That's how parsonages work. So anyways, that was just, a small part of that Ross Hodge interview, but I got stuck on it. And we'll get back to talking about that for the rest of the offseason. But we're going to dive into TBT. I'm excited for it coming to Charleston. I'll see you there at the Civic Center. That's it for this episode of Unreasonable Doubt. Listen on all the platforms or just pick one. Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, Overcast Podcasts, Pocket Cast Podcasts, YouTube. Until next time, I'm Josh Witt, WVU. For the 2025-2026 season, they have 0 wins and they have 0 losses.